In the mid-1990s, the political mood in Washington was ripe for federal acquisition reform. The Clinton administration was in the midst of its reinventing government initiative. The White House and lawmakers were using the famous tale of the Defense Department buying extravagantly expensive hammers to footstomp the need for streamlined buying practices. President Bill Clinton, in his 1995 State of the Union address.
The age of the $500 hammer and the ashtray you can break on David Letterman is gone.
Vice President Gore had appeared on the Letterman show 2 years before to demonstrate what he said was the government's absurd testing and requirements process for ashtrays.
They actually specify the exact way to break this in order to test it. They have to count the number of pieces. It can be no more than 35 pieces. You have to use an expensive hammer, safety goggles, and I thought we would give it a try here. All right, I'll do it first. Yeah.
Despite the fact that the famous hammer story may well have been an urban myth, the push toward simpler, more commercial buying practices took hold in two major pieces of legislation: the 1994 Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, and later what became known as the Clinger-Cohen Act in 1996. Pennsylvania Congressman Bill Clinger was the chairman of the House Oversight Committee when he spoke on the House floor in 1995.
It makes us more like a business. What we have seen is fewer and fewer people are willing to participate in the process, are willing to really get into the competition because the process is so complex that they don't want to do it.
The 1990s reforms told DOD and other agencies that wherever possible, they had to design their requirements so that commercial items could do the job and start replacing military-developed standards for products with industry-led standards. They also set up simplified acquisition rules for commercial items. And since then, DOD's purchasing of commercial items has skyrocketed. In 1996, DOD executed just 475 contracts under the simplified commercial item procedures, not even a blip in overall Pentagon contracting. In fiscal year 2011, though, commercial acquisitions were used for almost a fifth of all the contracting dollars DOD obligated, almost 13 million contracts worth nearly $75 billion. Just since 2005, DOD funds spent on those simplified acquisitions have more than doubled. And with defense budgets on a downward trajectory, acquisition leaders from across the military services are saying they want to rely more on commercial products, not less. Rear Admiral John Korn is the Coast Guard's chief acquisition officer.
We're buying state of the market rather than the state of the art, trying as much as possible to be non-developmental, open systems architecture, things along those lines. Standardization of equipment helps us standardize training and support and logistics.
The Army has started looking more to commercial vendors to fulfill its needs as well. It's now regularly publishing the capability gaps that it needs to fill in the hopes that industry already has a solution that won't require the military to build a new system from the ground up. And in some cases, that process has forced Army leaders to the realization that the requirements they're specifying are way over the top. The oft-cited example is the service's Net Warrior program for tactical communications. Testing the system in the hands of soldiers at the twice-annual network integration evaluation led them to cancel a hardware program that cost $12,000 per radio and replace it with an off-the-shelf solution that cost $2,000. Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence, the Army's chief information officer, says at first leaders were mystified by the difference in cost and development time.
Why in the world is it taking them so long to get this solution out, and why does it cost so much? So we started pulling the requirement document out and going through it. Well, lo and behold, the display that goes on the soldier's arm had to be tested under 1 meter of water for 2 hours. Now think about that. We have a really cool device and a very dead soldier. We're not going to hold a soldier underwater for 2 hours. That requirement made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
There are other success stories. The Navy, for example, says it cut its cost for a program to modernize the IT systems on its ships by 44% by deciding to lean almost entirely on off-the-shelf technology. A 2009 Defense Science Board report praised DOD for using the commercially available Boeing 737 as the basis for the new P-8A maritime surveillance aircraft, with modifications to meet military needs. But how many modifications can DOD order to a commercial product before it's no longer a commercial product? That same Defense Science Board report found widely diverging definitions and procedures for commercial items across the department. The authors came up with 9 different levels of definition for a commercial product, everything from something the Pentagon buys and uses literally off the shelf to orders for products that don't even exist yet but are meant to be built in commercial plants. The lack of specificity on what counts as a commercial product is a huge problem in the Defense Department, according to Scott Amey, the general counsel for the Project on Government Oversight.
The real problem is we're not seeing it just in with minor modification. We're really truly seeing it with things that are major modifications, but because they're of a type of products sold in the commercial market that they can get away with it.
That of a type phrase in federal acquisition law is what oversight groups say makes the definition of a commercial item so vague. If a product or service isn't exactly what's offered in the public marketplace, but it's still commercial of a type, it can still qualify for simplified acquisition procedures where vendors don't have to provide DOD with their cost and pricing data.
But mainly, I think the biggest problem that what people aren't realizing with this is the fact that a lot of these are sole source procurements. I mean, that's kind of what we see everything back to the attempted procurement of the C-17, the C-130J, you name it. We've seen too many reports that talk about the misclassification of items as commercial when they're truly not.
In those situations, Amey argues, simplified acquisition procedures that were designed to save the government money can end up costing more. Because when the government has no access to cost or pricing, it has no way of knowing whether the price it's being asked to pay in a non-competitive procurement is fair. This year, DOD sided with POGO and told Congress that the of-a-type definition has been abused for years. The Pentagon is asking lawmakers to remove the language from federal law entirely and narrow the definition of what a commercial item is. And recently, Shay Assad, the Pentagon's director of pricing, told vendors that if DOD is the only meaningful customer for a product made a sole source procurement, contracting officers are going to demand to see cost and pricing data from now on. But DOD's purchases of honest-to-goodness commercial products have significantly accelerated over the past decade, according to Dennis Moran, a retired Army Major General who now works as a vice president at Harris Corporation and sells commercial products to the government.
Probably the simplest one where they can just buy it off the shelf is just a simple computer, whether it be a desktop or a laptop. And the department can create the security environment that they want in that commercial product.
But he says the rapidly changing requirements of the last 10 years of war also led to rapid purchases of commercial capabilities, far beyond commodity IT.
You know, pre-9/11, I think the introduction of a commercially developed product within the Army would have been very, very difficult. The requirements process was very rigid. There was always the philosophy is that you needed a program of record to develop a capability that's going to be deployed across the Army. And quite frankly, that's been a successful model for the Army. That's the model that brought us success in the Cold War, brought us success in the first Gulf War. Post 9/11, there was acknowledgement that whether it was in Iraq and then now the focus on Afghanistan, that kind of a model was just not going to give the warfighter the capability they required.
Moran says DOD had to quickly learn to buy commercial items to meet urgent needs, everything from tactical communications to vehicles to body armor. It did that through the creation of the Rapid Equipping Force. Moran says the next challenge is going to be establishing repeatable, reliable processes for quickly buying commercial technologies once the needs aren't so urgent.
So that you can modernize the Army and take advantage of this rapid way that industry can bring you compliant commercial solutions very, very quickly. So I think that's what the agile acquisition process is all around. It doesn't work everywhere. Is it going to work in tactical communications? Absolutely. Is it going to work in the acquisition of ships? Probably not. Is it going to work in the acquisition of a new bomber? Probably not. But there's a lot of places where this will work, and I think Mr. Frank Kendall, as the DOD's acquisition executive, is trying to figure out what's the best way to bring these approaches forward.
Tomorrow, in part two of our series, we'll go deeper into DOD's efforts to use commercial technologies to fulfill warfighter needs more quickly and more cheaply, and hear more perspectives from members of industry who want to sell that technology to the government. I'm Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.